Tonight we'll be in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Once you find your place, go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word if you are physically able. And I'll start reading in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 8. The Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain did he fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here I am. Send me." So in verse 1 of our text, it mentions that the death of King Uzziah. Uzziah was the 10th king of Judah, and he was a very good man, by human standards, of course. He was highly influenced by the prophet Zechariah, and unlike many of the other kings that we've seen in Israel, he never totally departed from the worship of the true God. He worshiped God. He followed God for his reign. Under his influence, the southern kingdom of Israel attained power. They attained wealth. And they attained success, unlike it had seen since the time of Solomon. God greatly blessed the southern kingdom of Israel during this time. We all know what happens with success. And Uzziah got a little rash. Uzziah made the mistake of offering incense in the temple. If you'll turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, the account of this is here. We'll just read a few of the verses here, just so we can get the background of what Uzziah did. So in 2 Chronicles 26, I'll start reading in verse 16. The Bible says, "But when he was strong, his heart was," this is Uzziah, "his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him fourscore priests of the Lord. They were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence, yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write." I'll stop there. Uzziah, God had been good to Uzziah. God sent blessings. They were able to see great victories. And then it went to Uzziah's head. Uzziah said, "I'm going to go burn incense. Why should it only be those Levites that get to do that? It should be the kings." And so Uzziah, as we see, went into the temple to burn incense. And the priest said, hey, Uzziah, you can't do this. The word of the Lord says you can't be here. You can't do this. And it says Uzziah was wroth. It made him mad. He says, how dare you tell me what I can do? I am the king. He disobeyed God. And God smote him for it. Even as he was taking that censer, it said the leprosy rose in his forehead. God smote Uzziah, a good king by human standards, followed the Lord all the days of his reign, smote him with leprosy, and he died with that leprosy. Disobedience to the Lord is a serious matter. We need to take that seriously. Okay, so, well, evidently, Isaiah, who said Isaiah wrote of King Uzziah, okay, Isaiah was disturbed by this. Isaiah was thinking, maybe he was thinking, you know, it doesn't say what he's thinking, maybe he's thinking, man, he was a really good king. I don't understand why God would smite him like this. He reigned 52 years, never left God in the worship, never bowed down to Baal, never bowed down to idols. What happened to my king? Uzziah's death signaled the end of a great time of prosperity and consistency. For Isaiah and the entire nation, it ushered in a time of uncertainty, change, and doubt. But for Isaiah, it was the start of something new, I think. It was a time of rediscovery for Isaiah. You see, Isaiah was focused on the wrong thing. Isaiah was focused on Uzziah. Uzziah was a good king. He followed God. But where should Isaiah's focus have been? On the one true king, the Lord. Apparently, Isaiah had his attention on King Uzziah, but now Uzziah was dead. What must have been a downtime in the prophet's life, God gave him a vision. It turned into an uptime real quick. That which had his attention was removed, King Uzziah, and Isaiah had an encounter with God. What happened to Uzziah in this event spotlights for us what we need to do when we run into those downtimes in our life. You see, folks, we're all going to have downtimes in our life. We're going to have times of struggle. There's going to be things that we don't understand. These times of struggle, these down times, can do two things. They can grow us, or they can destroy us. And you know, it all is a matter of how you look at it. All of what has your focus. If the world has your focus, if the circumstance has your focus, you're not going to approach it in the right way. But if God has your focus, you're going to see what God has for you through each of those situations. Let's look together at these familiar verses and think on the thought, what we need in the down times of life. Learning what to do when life turns upside down will help us to get back up in short order and keep going for the Lord. First thing I want to see, it's funny. First thing I want to look at, we need to see what Isaiah saw. We need to see what Isaiah saw. Verse 1, look at verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah saw God as a king. And he is a king. He saw his sovereignty. An earthly king may have died. Okay, Uzziah died. But guess who is still on the throne? The Lord's still on the throne. He saw the Lord in all his glory. And it impacted Isaiah's life. It had an impact on Isaiah. When life seems to fall apart at the seams, we need to remember who's in control. Yeah, we get beaten down by the devil. Yeah, we get beaten down by the world. But who's in control of it all? God's still in control. what appears to be a tragedy to us may actually be one of the greatest things that could have ever happened to us in our lives. We can't know. Only God knows. Usually on Wednesday night, where are we at recently? Job. Look what happened to Job. Job was rich. Job had a good family. Job was on fire for God. And then the devil meddles. The devil says, yeah, God, Job just worships you because you give him everything. What do you expect? God says, okay, I'll show you, Satan. So Job lost his wealth. Job lost his family. Job lost his health. But if you cheat and peek ahead, God gives back Job so much more than what he had. See, when we run into down times in our life, it could be an opportunity that God is using to bring an even greater reward than you were even expecting. Romans 8:28, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. All things work for good for God's purpose. Now we might not be able to see God's purpose in the beginning of our trial, in the beginning of our storm. But believe it in your heart, believer. God's purpose will be done. I struggled there because my verses are supposed to be bolded, but they weren't. Computer error. Also, I like this one, 2 Corinthians 4. It says, for our light affliction. God says, the things we go through here are light affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So it says, yeah, you're going to go through hard times in this life. But guess what? It's temporary. Because up there, we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a glorified body. We're going to be able to serve the Lord. It's never going to be dark. Wow. And that's going to be eternal. That's going to be far longer than you were alive. We need to remember just who is in control of everything. So not only did Isaiah see God's position, I probably should have gave you that one, I forgot. Isaiah saw God's personality. Look at verses 2 and 3 there. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The angelic beings in the temple proclaim God's holiness. Angels are sinless creatures. Those sinless creatures cry out around the throne of God, constantly, holy, holy, holy. Because that's just what God is. You notice how they cover their face and they cover their feet. They have reverence for God. They also proclaim the glory of the Lord. Isaiah finally understood, hey, Uzziah might have been a good king, but God is so much better. God's glory fills the entire earth. God is so much better than Uzziah was. We need to remember that God's prime characteristic is His holiness. Our duty before the Lord is to honor His holy nature by living a good life before Him. Holy lives. God has the right to all glory. And by giving him the glory in our lives, we can show the world who deserves the glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Bible says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." No matter what we do, we need to give God glory. What do? At mealtimes, we bless the food. We thank God for providing the food for us. That's giving God glory. If you're in a public square and you're asked to pray, you can thank God, and that gives God glory. Isaiah learned that this thing was not about Uzziah. He also learned it wasn't about Isaiah. Or Isaiah. It's not about Uzziah or Isaiah. There we go. That's fun. I didn't think about that. That's fun. But it wasn't about Uzziah. It's not about Isaiah. It's about God. God alone deserves to be in the place of honor and glory. So during our times of downtimes, we need to remember who's working all things out of His holiness and for the glory of His name. James 1:17, the Bible says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift from above," and is from above, sorry. Start up. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So it says everything, every good thing comes from God because He's good. Okay, so Isaiah saw God's position. He saw God's personality. He also saw God's presence. We are told that the house was filled with smoke. Look there in verse 4. "And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Now, if we go back to the Old Testament in the tabernacle was filled with God's presence. This temple up in heaven that Isaiah saw in a vision, or God took him there, I'm not sure. But it says that this temple was filled with smoke, signifying it was full of God's presence. You will notice that God's train filled the temple. Now, a train is kind of like a robe. You know, one of those fancy robes with a big, long, you're going to drag it through it like a king, right? Train. His train filled the temple. God was the central figure in this temple. The whole temple pointed your attention to God. Isaiah was reminded rather forcefully that, hey, Uzziah's gone, but God's still here. You might not have the good king anymore, but you still have God. He had not been forsaken even in his downtime, but the Lord was with him in great glory. We also need to remember this, because if we're saved, we're never alone. God is with us at all times. Even when you think He's not there, guess what? He's there. I spoke of this on Sunday night, but Matthew 28:20, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Jesus said, "I'm going to be with you even to the end of the world." No matter where you walk in this life, you are going to have the Lord Jesus Christ with you until you go to heaven, and then you get to be with Him forever. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such thing as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So we need to see what Isaiah saw. We need to see the Lord lifted up in His glory. We need to see who God is and what God does. The second thing we do is we need to sense what Isaiah sensed. Look there in verse 5. Isaiah sensed his own condition. Verse 5 says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When Isaiah saw the Lord, he instantly realized, whoa, I got a problem. You know what? closer you get to God, the more problems you realize you have. Moving closer to God reveals our wickedness and our sin and our rebelliousness. Isaiah may have thought he was all well in life, but then he saw God. He's like, he didn't say, woe is my neighbor. He didn't say, woe is Brother Camp. Woe is Brother Briquette. Woe is Brother Dart. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. You know what, Camp? I'll admit something to y'all tonight. I had my own decision. I didn't make it public. But at camp, I realized I was letting circumstances get in the way of my fire for God. And I thought, hey, you can't blame yourself, Brother Frankie. Look, your wife has gone through cancer. Brother Frankie, you've just lost your job, and it's hard to find a new one. It's okay to let that die. No, it's not. I had to get down there with my good friend, Pastor York, and I said, Pastor York, will you pray with me that I would get the fire of God back in my life so that I can serve Him? And we got down and prayed. And I said, Lord, basically I said, woe is me. I said, Lord, I don't deserve to be your preacher right now. How can I make it right? And I came home, and I've been working to get back that fire that I lost. Until we are able to see our own failures, until we are able to see our own need for repentance, we'll never come clean. If we don't know there's a problem, we can't ask for forgiveness for our problem. And the sooner we come clean with the Lord about our own condition, the sooner we see those down times turn to up times. Next, Isaiah sensed his own cleansing. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord doesn't just point out my sins. Yeah, you're falling short here. Oh, you're falling short there. Look what you did there. But He also provides a way back. The Lord is a restorer. He wants to restore you to where you were before. This is what happens when we get... No, never mind. I've already said that. With Isaiah, it was an angel that took a live coal from the altar because Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. So the angel said, well, here you go. Let's burn him. Let's clean him up. Let's burn him. For us, we have the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I love 1 John. 1 John 1, 7 through 9, the Bible says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Listen to this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess, or never mind. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we see God for who He is, and we see ourselves for what we are, we will come before Him in humility, and we're going to confess our sins. The closer you get to God, the worse you look. It's true. But when that realization comes and we deal with the Lord in repentance, we will experience His cleansing. When we repent before the Lord, the Bible says He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The last thing we need to see, we already saw. We need to see what Isaiah saw. We need to sense what Isaiah sensed. Lastly, we need to say what Isaiah said. Look there in verse 8. The Bible says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. As soon as Isaiah gets his heart clean, he hears the call of the Lord to service. When Isaiah said, "Here am I," he was saying, "Hey God, my downtime's over. Forget about Uzziah. I'm more worried about what you got. Hey Lord, here I am. Use me to do whatever you want me to do. I'm available." Isaiah was signifying he was over the death of Uzziah. Now his life was to serve the Lord. That's what we need to say when our life turns down. We need to get on that altar, and we need to come to a place where nothing means anything to us but what He wants from us. You know, I used to get down on the altar. I used to say, "Hey God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go." But I think in the back of my mind, I was kind of like, "Just don't send me to Russia." Or, "God, I'll go where you want me to go, just don't send me to Ukraine." "Hey God, I'll go around, just don't send me to California." We need to submit, we need to surrender, and we need to sacrifice. We need to get down on this altar and say, "God, even if it is Russia, even if it is Ukraine, even if it is California, hey Lord, I'm available. I'll go." Romans 12:1-2, the Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Not only was Isaiah saying, "I'm available," Isaiah was saying, "I'm agreeable. Look, Lord, I'm available, but hey, I'm for you. Whatever you want, I'm for too, because you're the Lord." It says, "Lord, I am here to do what you want, and I'm willing to do what you want. Send me, and let me go down to do what you want me to do." When we make ourselves available to the Lord, and we get agreeable with what He asks us to do, you can be sure that He will bless your life and that He will use you for His glory. I just want to be used by God. I want to win souls for Him. I want to teach young people about Him. I want to usher in the next generation for Him. I want to help these young women and young men in our church to serve Him better with their lives, to give Him the glory. I don't want any of the glory. I want Him to have it all. You know, in Wales, I didn't write that part down, but there was a 15-year-old girl in Wales who stood up in the service and just said, "I love Jesus." Not long after that, the Welsh revivals broke out. Anyone know a man by the name of Henry Varley? Oh, I thought I'd get somebody on that one, okay. Henry Varley was a British revivalist in the 18th century. He made a quote. The quote of Henry Varley was, "The world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to Him." Now, none of you have heard of Henry Varley, but I bet you know the name of the guy who was sitting in the service when he said that and said, "Hey, that can be me." That's none other than Mr. D.L. Moody, who is one of the most well-known revivalists of the 19th century. My friends, downtimes are going to come in life. You can count on them just as sure as you can count on the sun rising and setting. It's going to happen. But when they do come, we can shorten their duration and severity by seeing what Isaiah saw, the Lord of glory. By sensing what Isaiah sensed, "Woe is me, I am undone." And saying what Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." A focused heart, seeing. A clean heart, sensing. And a surrendered heart, saying. Will quickly find yourself on the upward path again. I know that's why I want it in my life. I want to get back on that upward path. I don't like the downward path. It's horrible. I want the upward path. Let me ask you, how about you? Do you want the upward path? Are you ready to get before God and see who He is? Are you ready to get before God and say, hey God, woe is me? Are you willing to get in front of God and say, here I am, Lord. I'll do it. Send me. Are we willing to do that tonight?